Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, kiddies? How we doing? It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Two hosts, as they always are. I'm Chris Welch. That is Scott Bogman. We got a lot going on.
5-1 odds that we finish this show.
The odds that we finish this show?
5-1 odds. I'm taking all bets.
I think I'm taking that bet. Oh, that's something. You know, Bogman, I don't even know if we put that on the show sheet. We got to talk about some gambling. Maybe we just scrap. You know what the fun thing is, by the way? We do these show sheets 3 hours long. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, they wanted us for 3 hours, so we got to come up with 3 hours of content. We put all this stuff together. We usually get to about, I don't know, 70%, would you say, of the show sheet, if we're lucky?
Yeah, we get to a decent amount of it. Not the whole thing, though.
Yeah, I like the idea that we just completely blow it up right off the top. And here's a good transition. So we will kind of maybe blow out the first segment here for just a minute. In that, gambling is on the precipice of being legalized across the country. What are we doing
sports
while we're doing
gambling.
This? Sports gambling. Yeah, sorry. But what are we doing as we're doing this right now? We're playing a friendly game of poker. We got a little poker game going on in the background, a little ITL home game that's going down, and that's what we're having some fun with in celebration. I think poker is one of those things that should be legalized.
It should be too, but you know, it's our dumb state. We're in Arizona, and the Native American casinos are lining the pockets of all the political people here, so we'll just never see anything in our state like everyone else will have. So you guys all enjoy it, and we'll just never have it.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's the optimist. Thank you very much. Okay, well, let's set the table then for a second. We can talk a little bit more about that. On the show today, there are a ton of topics. There's a bunch of really funny topics that are out there. We're actually going to talk about a golf story. We're going to talk about the NBA draft lottery. Hard Knocks has picked their winner. Plus, we have got lying, cheating-ass cheaters that are on our radar. And we're going to do all of that on this beautiful mid-May episode of In This League. You guys know you can check us over out at inthisleague.com. We've got the In This League Fantasy Podcast and a bevy of really great stuff going down. So we had a killer baseball episode earlier in the week. I suggest you check it out because we had some really great polls we kind of threw out there of Ozzie Albies versus Paul Goldschmidt, a whole Goldschmidt conversation. I have Jim Callis. I had Jim Callis on my Prospect One show to talk about the Major League Baseball draft. And we have a very early MLB, or not MLB, an NFL mock draft that we put together. And we broke down this entire mock draft. So at InThisLeague.com and the In This League podcast, they're kind of lit, Bogman. They're kind of lit.
We got you covered, son.
That's what we try to do. So patreon.com/ITL Army, that's the other place that you can go. And what we've got over there, that's our insider program. So people can join in and all the fun that we do. We do comedy shows. We do about two a month. We do chats. We've got the GroupMe rooms where people can join us. And hey, like we're doing right now, play a little poker on the side. Bogman just lost a hand. What did you, the guy won with a nine. What'd you call it?
I pulled sevens. He didn't bet his nine. So I didn't think he had it.
Well, but there was an ace and a king on the board, too.
Yeah, but I thought he didn't bet those either. I thought he was trying to bluff me out of it, so.
Okay, you're better than that.
You know, I almost just lost $100 to you, so why don't you just move along?
Oh, we in a gambling mood. Bogman and I.
Why don't you just move it along, friend?
We've got our radio bet, the cursing bet. We've got legalized gambling that's coming around. We're playing a little poker while we're doing it. The ITL friendly home game poker is just play stuff, so don't get up in arms or anything like that. When you saw this news go down, because by the way, was I the only one? Like, I didn't realize we were on the precipice of like a ruling coming down where gambling could be legalized. Like another thing, when did we get net neutrality back? Like, all of a sudden, in 1 week...
Well, we didn't get it back. That has to go through the Senate, too.
Okay, so, well, I don't know. In 1 week, all of a sudden, apparently net neutrality back and gambling, sports gambling, was happening.
Yeah,
and
I mean, this is great news for everything, but we don't really have anything yet.
Yeah, that's because, true. No, nothing like, tangible.
Like you mentioned to me, I got all excited. I was like, oh, it's all legal, man. Let's go bet everything. I want 100
on
the... Let's
go, man.
I want 100 on the D-backs right now, man. Let's go. And, you know, and then you're like, well, the states have to pass it. I'm like, really? Why didn't anything anywhere say that the states have to pass it?
And that was
and you're like, well, it's stupid because they're just trying to get clicks. I'm like, okay. So now the states have to pass everything, which makes me super depressed because our state will never pass it.
Well, and Arizona
neutrality has to go through the, it has to go through the House or the Senate. I can't remember which one it was, but it has to be double tapped.
So. Well, I think it's a good line in double tapping, though I will say, you know, in Arizona, we got the Coldstone guy as our governor, you know, Coldstone Creamery. And they're already talking about, you know, what sports gambling, because there's a line, I think, that a lot of people are trying to define mentally in themselves between, boy, that was a bad hand of people there. They're trying to define in themselves between pure gambling, sports gambling. You've got the DFS world, and I think what everyone's seeing now is there's a host of ways for them to bring in money. Every state is looking at it like that, and it opens up a lot. It opens up a whole nother ball game, though. Too, I heard some people like, "Man, how great will it be? You're sitting at a bar and you could place a bet, and then you can get paid out right there." And I'm like, "Yeah, but boy, could that get dirty?
It could get messy, right?"
Pretty quick. I do think let's get some stations. Let's get some places where we can do it. Like, I do think you shouldn't be able to walk. I don't want to walk into the gas station, buy a lottery ticket, and place $200 on, you know, the Cavs and the Warriors. I don't want to do that. I don't think you should do that. Let's at least you have to drive to the casino.
I think you meant the Celtics and the Warriors, or, you know, not the Cavs was probably what you meant point.
I'm kind of still meant the Cavs. Definitely didn't mean the Rockets.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean,
whatever.
We all want.
You're just trying to get me to lose a bet here, so
we're in gambling mode, Bachman. I'm looking for a Hunsky. That's what I'm looking for. That is what I'm looking for. So we briefly talked about this a little bit on another show. By the way, we do lots and lots of shows. You want to even know how much further we go? We're going to both be on Target with our boy Jake Seeley later this week, so be on the lookout for that. I think I'm on the Tuesday edition, and you're going to be on the Thursday edition. But we host Full 60 over on Fantrax with our guy Joe Pizzapia, and we were kind of briefly talking about this, or God knows where the hell we were talking about it, but you were a gamble guy. Like, this was your wheelhouse. You used to not even place the bets, but you used to sit down and make all your markers into sports betting. I think this might open up a whole new world of in this league when this kind of goes down. I think, like, Gabe Morrissey might become your guy.
Well, it's definitely possible. I mean, I do like to bet. Like, even, you know, $5 of action on a game just makes a game more fun. Like,
well, dude, every time we talk about anything, you're like, you want to put money on it? We'll put $5 on it? Come on, put $5
on
it.
Well, that's when we disagree. You know, when we have a disagree, I'm like, well, why don't we bet? You know, I mean, just $5. It makes it more fun, I think. Just, you know, throw in. Like, I'm watching right now, I've got, you know, the Rockies and the Giants on. This game would be way more fun if I had $10 on it. I'd have way more invested.
You know what always bothered me? So right after, you know, this what was it, a 7-2 passing, you know, where the New Jersey and you know, they deem that they can't hold this back, blah, 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 blah. But then immediately after the ruling came down, the NFL releases a statement to say, you know, we are hoping, you know, that we are going to have, you know, proper regulations put for, you know, enforced this, that, and the other thing. And my only big problem with it is the NFL acts like that, like DFS and fantasy sports didn't take them to another level, because the NBA has embraced that. I think, I'm not sure if quite baseball is there yet, but sports have embraced it. You got to know that fantasy sports, the game that the people are listening to, a 24-hour free fantasy network, where we're talking about fantasy sports, we're talking about sports, we've embraced that. We've gone away from the nerd culture, you know, the stigma that goes along with it. Fantasy sports, DFS and season long, has made the Browns versus the Jets a game that is watchable in some capacity.
Right. Well, and betting does that triple fold.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to know, like, to do fantasy, you either have to sit down and draft a team with your buddies at the beginning of the season, or it can be simpler for DFS, but you still have to know something. For to place a bet of $10, you just have to know the line. You just have to know who's playing.
Well, you almost don't even have to know that. Like, you know what's funny about that,
right,
is football has kind of embraced this it's kind of this culture in football where, like, you know, families do fantasy football leagues, and
right,
you know, they'll go by name. If you know, there's something to be said if gambling is kind of put in that same nature. There's nothing to say that, like, you know, if you're sitting at a restaurant and there's a game coming on and people don't even know what the hell's going on, they might be like, I'll put $20 on, you know, the Cavs. I'll put that
right
on. And there might be a lot more action like that. But hopefully it's kind of put in that manner where it's a lot, you know, it's a lot less painful to pockets and maybe addiction.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how it all turns out here. I am optimistic, but I do think it was smart for the NFL to say this stuff, to be cautiously optimistic, because the reason it hasn't been legal for such a long time is because of the scandals that we've had. We've had point shaving in college basketball. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Black Sox throwing
sure
the World Series. You know what
Nucky,
I mean?
Nucky
so
Thompson, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
Boardwalk Empire. I learned about that on HBO.
So there is plenty of history of cheating. And I mentioned this in Full 60, and I'll just say it here, too. I think that it's just harder to cheat in this day and age with the social media.
I
mean, you know, the president can't even get away with stuff with Russia, apparently. So, I mean, look, if the president can't get away with it, you know, who the hell is going to get away with something?
Well, I mean,
it's
the cheating,
like that old
the cheating
Dana
is
Carvey, you know, O.J. Simpson set up, like, so many people would have had to have been in on it.
Well,
you know,
the,
and no
the cheating
one
is
the beans
paying your players to come and putting money on the side, not
or
telling
the referees
people. Yeah, well, who? What was the? Do you remember the ref's name? The basketball
Tim
ref?
Donaghy.
Tim Donaghy. Okay, yeah, you remember Bogman? Were you affected?
I do. Dude, that stuff is shady. Like, to be honest, if the games are rigged, why are you watching? Why don't I just go watch professional wrestling? You know
yeah
what I mean?
David
it's
Stern
the same stuff. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want any games to get to that point. I'd rather have non-legal betting than have games being set up and thrown and all that kinds of crap. And that's why, you know, that's why they mentioned that they're cautiously optimistic about this stuff, because it can bring in a ton of revenue. But with, you know, stuff like that, it brings in a seedy type of, you know,
how much
person.
How is the industry that we are in going to be affected? Do you see more positive or negative? And what I mean, I just want to preface how I mean it, is like you've got some site, you've got like sites like LeagueSafe that have kind of, you know, managed payment systems. You've got a handful of known DFS companies. You know, you've got just these entities, these smaller entities that exist out there. Are we going to start seeing, do you think we're going to see monopolies? Do you think companies are going to be, you know, folded? DraftKings owns half the market, and FanDuel is they're going to have a merger with Betfair. So, you know, are you going to have just a monopoly of only a couple companies? I think Betfair, who purchased FanDuel, also owns a stake in Draft, if I'm doing that correct. The company PlayDraft, you know, Draft.
Right.
So it's like, are we going to just build monopolies where only a couple companies are going to rule the roost, and they're going to, because it's so mainstream, we're going to lose companies like LeagueSafe, and you're going to lose kind of this ecosystem that's been created, and then all of a sudden you're only going to have a couple places to go, which I think the question then becomes, how will it survive if it's a shark, if it's shark infested waters? You know, the consumer's going to want to play, but these companies are going to have to do extra to try to make sure there's game for consumers and maybe get rid of, you know, the bots and all that weird stuff. But do you think it's going to be hurt, or it's going to thrive more?
I think it's going to thrive more, just because making things simpler will get more people involved.
You're
and
saying
the
make
people,
it great again.
It will. The people, you know, the people that come in with a that are kind of betting small or betting on certain things, maybe they get a little bit more invested. I just think it opens up more eyes to everything.
Like DFS might have to start going, like, you know, you can't do multi-entry under $25, you know, that type of stuff, to make it more accessible and wanting, you know, from the normal consumer. Because, you know, you jump into one of those, like, you know, $1 million pools. That's I don't know how much the buy-in is or whatever.
It's and like buying a lottery ticket.
Yeah, well, dude, you know, like the 12 guys you follow on Twitter, you know, that have 60 to 70 entries apiece.
I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
I hate the double entries. I hate the quadruple entries.
Regulation's going to really be an interesting aspect to this, of how states are going to regulate, how they're going to manage with, you know, because you're also going to have taxing. That's the whole reason they're going to want to do this, because they're going to get it off top. How much are we going to be, you know, how much is a consumer going to be hit with, you know, taxes? And it's just a really interesting thing that we're in. But you kind of alluded to it when we started the show here, is like, we're probably, even though like the conversation is fun to have right now, we're probably still like 3, 4, 5 years away this being a mainstream idea, where it's not just Vegas.
If you thought the FanDuel, DraftKings, any of that advertisement was annoying, which I don't care, whatever. You know, that whatever gets the most commercials, you get the same 7 commercials anyway. Like, I know that when I'm watching the Diamondbacks on Fox Sports Arizona, I'm going to see that annoying ass AutoNation broad like 35 times. It's the only commercial that they play is that girl in the pink AutoNation. And she speaks like this: "Welcome to AutoNation." And it drives me crazy,
dude. What commercial you're talking about? What commercial is that?
Well, you'll see it like once every 15 commercials on the game.
You know who I envisioned? I envisioned the Sprint girl.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I like her.
Are you talking about the thick one with 2 C's?
I don't know if that thick. I don't know. She's like the Sprint one. Like she does a lot of commercials.
I may be thinking of the Verizon one. I can't remember.
Maybe it's Verizon. Maybe that's the one. I don't know. Not Flo. All I'm specifically not talking about Flo. That's
what happened to
Flo.
She hasn't been around for a while now, has she?
I don't know. I don't know, man. It's a lot of Flo jokes that exist in this sphere. But hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be back. We got more conversation here. I don't know if maybe we'll talk a little bit more gambling. Always get your takes. You can tweet us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? But we have got baseball. We've got basketball, draft talk. We've got football, and we have got a really mean golf wife. So don't go anywhere. It's In This League. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
How would you like to manage
In This League
this year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? This is a chance to manage in the big leagues.
Let me think it over, will you?
Scott Bogman.
I got
Chris Welsh.
The other line about some white walls. I'll talk to you later.
Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us. We deeply appreciate it. I've got something to tell you, Bogman. Have you heard about the Daily Roto? The DailyRoto.com dollar month right here on the network?
Hell yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say you buy a lottery ticket. We are talking about gambling. That's very important here. And you pay your dollar. Well, it's $2 out here. You know, I think everywhere. Pick a couple numbers. That's it.
Back in my day, it was $1. I remember now it's $2.
And, you know, that's it. That's the whole process. That's the whole gambling process. It's not super fun unless it's a gajillion dollars and you pretend. But with the DailyRoto.com dollar month, you pay that dollar, you get access for 30 days, and you are transported into a world that has produced 5 millionaires. Take destiny into your hands. Go to DailyRoto.com. Enter the code $1, all spelled out $1. That's DailyRoto.com, code $1.
You know what I like about that is that you can't inject anything into your body to get you more millions of dollars.
That's a great point. I mean, you can in theory, you inject to, quote, work towards it. I got one for you. How much do you think we will start having some of these websites, because I think there are some websites.
Webcams.
Yeah, webcams out
what
there.
What webcams?
No, but I think there are already a few of these sites out there that do a lot of fringy kind of like prop bets. Do you think we're going to start getting prop bets of players being suspended or PED use? Like, can you imagine going in, you start the season, and, you know, it's like Super Bowl odds, and they just put odds on all the players.
Who's a cheater.com?
Yeah, but then, you know, they'll have to monitor that stuff because, you know, what if you've got a who's a cheater.com? Go buy that right now. See if it's available.
I think the problem with that is kind of like the wrestling. You can get inside information. You can definitely be insider trading on that. And then if that becomes like a big popular thing, then it's also like
maybe they start taking it to like win bets.
Well, I mean, either that or they either that or they do something like, you know, put something in somebody's drink. You know what I mean?
Ooh, so yeah, I like that. Maybe players
like
will
start.
Maybe
scary.
Maybe players will start policing each other too. You know, now they got a financial incentive. Maybe that's it. Maybe baseball needs a bounty program where players get like a $5,000 bounty or maybe more for ratting out it for being a snitch, a snitching ass snitch.
Snitching ass snitch.
Snitches
I like it.
Get dollars.
I just split this hand. The only hand I've come close to winning the entire
game. Yeah, Bogdan and I were playing poker as we're doing this thing in honor of the of sports gambling pretty much never becoming legal in Arizona, but eventually slowly kind of, you know, slowly trickling out. And I'm hoping online poker does the same thing, but that's not what we're getting at here or we're trying to talk about. What we are trying to talk about is the cheating ass Robbie Cano, who was suspended.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, please.
I need to ask you something about this because sure. Earlier this year, who was it? Was Michael Chavis got popped?
He did. Yeah. Remember, so, we talked about it on here. Yeah. I had been around Chavis a lot in the Fall League. And then
you had a Twitter interaction.
Twitter interaction with him. I was the first one he responded to because I responded to his kind of letter about it. And he went back and forth with me.
And you felt, I don't know if you felt sympathetic, but you at least wanted to give him a shot. So,
yeah, he was very kind of like he went at it. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but it was a very serious, you know, he took it very serious. He had a long, drawn out thing about it. Now, the one thing I think I mentioned in Full 60 that I didn't know about and I would have loved to have known was I didn't get any information like we did with Robinson Cano about what it was, because we got Robinson Cano. It's a diuretic. It was some crap that or maybe it was in there with Chavis. We just had no idea what it was. But sorry, go on with your question.
Well, I was just going to ask. So we saw Chavis, Jorge Polanco before, Starling Marte last year, D. Gordon last year, Robbie Cano this year.
And a host of minor league guys that no one knows about.
Right, exactly. Are you becoming more jaded? Like if Robbie Cano had put out something that said, I have no idea how this got into my body, you know, I don't know how this happened, I'm going to work towards making sure nothing like this ever happens again. Like, would you feel more sympathetic for him if he would have said something, or is this kind of like a, man, I don't know. I kind of think that this guy's been real good for real long, and now we kind of know why.
There's a couple things here. Like, and I don't want to get hypocritical about any of this, because I will say,
and they're different situations. I don't think you'd be a hypocrite if you said, I don't believe Robbie Cano because of X, Y, and Z, but I believe Michael Chavis because X, Y, and Z.
There's like, some of it.
They're all different situations, so they're not the same.
Where I'm getting kind of at it is like, because I think there's a couple things. I feel more jaded after the Chavis thing because we just keep seeing more of it. But I do feel like there is a difference when you're looking at minor leagues versus professional, like Major League Baseball. And that's really splitting hairs here. But
like the minor league guys, maybe you're sympathetic towards because they're trying to climb the ladder to make their dream
come true. No, I'm not sympathetic to guys cheating. You cheat. Okay. You're all done. Right. But what I'm sympathetic towards is I do think there's a possibility. A lot of these guys in the minor leagues are on their own. Like, I don't know if people know this. These, you know, these international guys, these guys that come and sign over, when they come over, they may not have money. They stay with host families out here right. In Phoenix, because we've got half of the teams. There are loads of people that are host families to 17 and 18 year old Dominican kids because, you know, they can't like pay their way, and guys are rooming up. They don't have money. Where I'm getting at is there's definitely a possibility that these guys, they don't have the professional and concern care to pay attention to what they got at GNC and stuff like that. Like, I think it is these guys have $3,000, you know, a month or whatever it is, or $1,500 a month. Like, I just think there's a different concentration where I can see it a lot more likely that they took something on accident that's on a banned list. When you're a professional, and that's not an excuse, by the way, and it doesn't
especially
them.
For a guy like Michael Chavis, because didn't he get like a big signing bonus and all that stuff?
No, I don't think he got a big signing. He might have. I don't remember. But
was he a high pick? I don't remember.
I honestly just can't remember. But you know what his big thing was? He just came off of a complete breakout season where he hit like 30 homers, and it's not a good look. So that's where you don't excuse it. But when you look at a major league player, this is their life. This is their likelihood. Hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars. There is no excuse to me when you have, I mean, you have a full team, you have a stadium and a team of personnel that are trainers that, you know, I mean.
First like, round, Michael Chavis.
Okay, it was first round. But like, if you've ever been in any of these locker rooms, there's multi-million dollar locker rooms. You've got trainers, you've got owners, you've got the best of the best of everything. There are like 70 banned substances. It is inexcusable to me that these guys could on accident put something into their body. And it is probably 90% along the lines that they are cheating ass cheaters. So much so, this just came out. I saw this today. Former teammate of Robinson Cano, Mark Teixeira, was on the Michael Kay show. And he essentially insinuated that he wasn't surprised by it. He said, "I don't really want to get into too much. I love Robbie, but I'm not surprised. I don't want to get too much further, but I think a lot of people are trying to say the same thing. Yankees GM Brian Cashman had to catch himself in an interview a couple days ago, but yeah, not surprised." It said, that's a damning statement. He says, "You kind of know who is doping," Teixeira said. This is Thursday. "This is what we do for a living. You see guys when they're young, see who they're hanging out with. You just kind of know as a ball player. 50% of guys popped. I'm like, of course, knew it. Others, I'm a little surprised." Dude, you hear that from a teammate and a player like Mark Teixeira and Cashman. People are not surprised at Robbie Cano, and a poor-ass excuse of everything. Oh, doctor in the Dominican Republic, it's a diuretic. He took a masking agent for PEDs. He took a diuretic that is banned because it is known to mask PEDs,
right?
And you have teammate coming out being like, "Ah, I'm not surprised. That's a bad look. That's a really
bad look, man." Yeah. And looked like Michael Chavis signed a $1.8 million signing bonus when he signed with the Red Sox.
Yeah, so I mean, he got some cash, and he was kind of a bomb out for a couple years, and then the last year. I mean, he had an incredible breakout season, which took him to the Arizona Fall League, and he kind of became like a darling of a lot of people.
He's not in that position, though, that you mentioned before of, you know, guys that get, you know, a tiny signing bonus, or even if they get $30,000, you know, they're sending it to their mothers, and then they get, you know, whatever it is.
Well, Dominican,
you know,
guys, they have like finder fees and stuff like
that.
Right,
they got to go through all that mess and all that stuff. So he doesn't seem like he's one of those guys. Does that lessen your sympathy for him, knowing that he was a millionaire the day he signed? So maybe he should have taken better care of himself or watched out a little bit better. Yeah. I'm just playing devil's advocate here, by the way. I'm not, whatever your opinion is, it's your opinion. I don't care.
I'm not solidified it. Like I said, I admitted it right when it happened. I felt skewed because I'd been around the guy, very humble guy, extremely hard worker. And, you know, it wasn't one of those things that jumped out to you. But there was another Arizona Fall League guy like Eric Filia who got popped. And sometimes it's guys you don't expect, like D. Gordon. So just and the thing that jumped out to me that I was like, hey, I can commend this because I chastise it right when it happened, was that he immediately came out with a heavy statement, you know, in huge defense, a lot of personal accountability with addiction in his family. And I thought a lot of that meant something. And that's where some of that was coming from. It doesn't mean that the guy wasn't cheating. He really could have. I can't.
And there's guys you just want to root for, man. You know what I mean? Sure. There's guys, like you said, you talk to him. He's a nice guy. You want to believe that that's not true. I think the reason I'm jaded with it is because I felt that way about Mark McGwire, right? Like Mark McGwire, done everything nice, you know. But creatine, when he was, people didn't know about creatine or any of that stuff.
Creatine?
Yeah, he had a big old He had a big old case of it in his locker. That's how people kind of found out about this stuff. They're like, did Mark McGwire just have steroids or whatever it is in his banned substances in his locker that no one's talking about? And he did. You know what I mean? And then when he got up in front of the the court and he was saying all that stuff like, I'm just here to talk about the past. I was kind of like, oh, well, yeah.
How much of a pass is Robbie going to get? Because baseball has typically given these guys passes to the point where they've become beloved. You know, David Ortiz.
I mean, Bartolo Colon, I can't believe this is a great point you're bringing up. Bartolo Colon is maybe the biggest POS in baseball. He cheated. He has a second family. Remember that whole thing? Yeah. He has a second family.
He's like and doing blood infusions, switching out his blood. And
right. Yeah. And everybody just gives him a pass because, oh, he took 100 mile an hour
off
his belly and picked it up and threw the guy out. Isn't that hilarious?
Isn't he so lovable?
I bet his second family doesn't think it's hilarious. They have to hide from his first family.
But
that's crazy.
I know. I agree with you. Baseball has is typically done this kind of bit where, I mean, David Ortiz was never it was never a thing, but he was implicated in stuff that had kind of come out. Alex Rodriguez, known.
And he's like great friends with Robbie Cano.
And Alex Rodriguez, like on broadcasts and everything now. Then you go and look and you see guys like Mark McGwire. He's a hitting coach with San Diego. Barry Bonds was for a bit with the Marlins. I mean, these guys are all given all these ridiculous second chances that are going on. And you just kind of look at this and you're just like, does it matter? Like, is anything going to change? Can we accept the tarnishment of him?
I think there's a couple things with that. Number one, like, you know, I don't think this doesn't have to ruin a guy's life. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's not about his life, but it should be his.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about like not forgiving anything, it's kind of, you know, the dude's not getting in the Hall of Fame now, not for a while at least. So that definitely tarnishes his record. And but I don't think, you know, like A-Rod was wrong. Is A-Rod kind of, is he believable in his regret? I don't know that he is. Is he okay on TV? Whatever. He's fine. I'm tired of seeing his face, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think there's other guys, like, you know, a lot of people think Frank Thomas was a juicer. And
but there's a difference between thinking and then any, like, there's people that can think. There's been these implications. I don't know if you saw this also. Apparently, in the Biogenesis investigations, there was something in here. This was in that article. Let me see if I close it out. At the end, it says, according to a 2013 ESPN article, MLB was looking into a possible connection between Cano and Biogenesis because Sonia Cruz, the spokesman for Cano's foundation, was listed in documents as having been a Biogenesis client. Mm-hmm. It was later revealed Cano did not have any involvement.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, mm-hmm. I think there might be some proof now that maybe he did.
I mean, I don't know if it's proof that is, but what it is, you know, ooh, piece of candy, piece of candy, piece of candy. James Wood, you know, there's little sprinkle marks out there. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. The guy's suspended for 80 games for fantasy. He gets to serve it while he's, you know, he's hurt, and he'll come back August 14th. Maybe he'll be. I think you can cut him at this point because he has the suspended tag on it. But I mean, I want no part of Robbie Cano, and he's going to try to come back and be beloved. And unfortunately, I kind of think Seattle's going to accept him back.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're going to accept him back because they still have to pay him. You know, they're still on the hook for that.
Like,
giant
he's going to get a standing ovation his first game back, and it's going to be gross. I think he will.
I don't think he is.
Think he will. It'll be really gross.
You know what's funny is I was there when Robbie Cano, probably maybe at one of the highest moments of his career, when he won the 2011 Home Run Derby. And I was also there at one of his lowest moments in Kansas City when the second year they made captains. And they made captains for the AL and NL, and they got to pick the participants. And he didn't pick Billy Butler, who was a home run hitter at this point in his career. And he was also, you know, the hometown favorite because All-Star Game was in Kansas City. And they were booing the holy S out of him, man. It was unrelenting. And he fouled a couple off, and he didn't hit one home run in that home run derby. He wanted to get out of town. He was definitely shook. So it's funny that, this happened with Robbie Cano, you know, just being there for his big ups and downs. And I'm not, you know, a New Yorker by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, yeah, or by any means whatsoever. I've not even been there. Not even been there. But Robbie Cano suspended. I think his fantasy relevance for this season is very minimal because he holds that suspension tag, nothing I want. But I think it's a further look into just the insanity of this whole process where when is the time? When are we going to have clarity? Just like the gambling thing. When are we going to have clarity where a wrong is a wrong? Because
when will my Wi-Fi work properly?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Wi-Fi or the suspension process? Because you know what's sick and baseball needs to fix? The problem that I don't think we can live with. It's one thing to deal with cheating. It's another thing where there's no accountability. There is zero accountability for people that are cheating, from Ryan Braun to tearing down lives to players digging their feet in the mud to the very end because they're going to go down with it. If you get popped, there's got to be a definitive, you cheated. You're a cheater. And it needs to be definitive. And the problem is,
they should brand you.
They should. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Big old A. Put a big old A on them. That's what they'll do. It'd be like, what's that? Emma Stone in that movie. All right. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's In This League. Finish up the first hour. Some more baseball. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
Welcome back. In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. FNTSY popping off big. I believe I saw a little post that Craig Carton getting some nationally syndication.
So woohoo!
On the network. That's a good thing. You want some more In This League on FNTSY? Well, I don't know. Open your mouth and tell somebody. But you can catch us on the On Target with Jake Seeley this week. I'm on Tuesday. Bogman is on the Thursday, and I think at least that's when we're recording it. But I would tell you, as far as FNTSY goes, you can obviously download the free app. Go do that if you want to get down with it. But you can also listen on TuneIn and on iHeart. So on Saturdays, whenever you're listening to us, if you want to listen live, download any of those apps and you can stream us. Or if you want the podcast, we are on iTunes and even Spotify. Just search In This League. We'll come right up. Come right up, Bogman.
Coming right up. Let's go get it.
Let's talk about some more baseball since we're kind of on that front here. Manny Machado, you saw something that was going around Reddit, and I feel like we have talked about this a little bit. But there seems to be some steam that is being picked up right now that the Cubs are making a move, quote-unquote, that their priority is Manny Machado. We've speculated that the Phillies could be in that market. The Arizona Diamondbacks, who are losing players left and right, and if they want to hold steam, I think they desperately would need to do something like this. That the Orioles have kind of, you know, maybe the best move they did do was hold on. It kind of almost seemed foolish in the offseason that they didn't move Machado, but they actually really might get that bigger return leading up to the deadline with teams going against each other. And the Cubs right now are making, and if the Cubs want something, they're going to get it done. And they have major league assets to potentially make this happen.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week in the John Heyman article when he's had the 20 most, you know, trade eligible players and possible candidates. And his number one spot, I believe, for Manny Machado last week was the Dodgers, which makes sense. But we talked about the Dodgers and affordability, and that was a big thing for them, right? So with Manny Machado possibly moving, We talked about this offline too, where you said, I think it's one big, because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, if the Diamondbacks will make this move. And you said you think that they want one big prospect or one big player, you know.
I think, they want of substance, because I think a lot of teams are going to try to.
They don't want to piece it together. They don't want like four maybe okay guys, maybe two of them work out.
Well, first off, I don't think they're going to get that. But I think what most teams want to sell them is one medium prospect and then a low end prospect. So you know, I'm talking like maybe there's a guy at double A, a not 100 prospect, and then another medium guy. And I don't think the Orioles want any part of that. I think they would like a more major league ready player, maybe a guy in the majors right now, or they're going to want one higher end prospect like we've seen in some of these moves. And it just so happens the Cubs minor league system, it's not great, but they
right.
do happen to have a bevy of young players that I think we could deem movable.
And who was your instant thought when you saw this? You said, well, that's...
Oh, I thought Ian Happ.
Ian Happ.
I thought
okay.
Ian Happ could be the one. Though, you know, from a need perspective of what, like, the Orioles need, I think you wrote this list, you wrote this on here, and I think you might be right, that the Orioles might say, give us Addison Russell.
Yeah, and to be honest, I just, with Javier Baez playing so well...
And you got Happ and Zobrist that play second.
Right. And Javier, if they don't wind up re-signing Machado, Javier can play short next season. So I don't know why they wouldn't go and make that deal. I know Addison Russell has a lot of potential. He's a high-end dude, all that stuff. But I think that Addison Russell could be the big piece. Maybe they throw in, I don't know, how high on the prospect list is your guy David Bodie. You know what I mean? Like, is he, like, there's no way they'd give up both those guys?
Give up, wait, who? Bodie and
like
who?
Russell and Bodie.
No, I think, I mean, Bodie's not that high up, but I would say the Cubs are going to balk at trading Addison Russell.
You don't think that'll happen? I just think that if that's their main target, he's not going to play. I mean, I guess he could play third if they wanted to move Chris Bryant to the outfield again. I just don't think that that's what they want to do. So I think Machado is definitely going to play short. So Addison Russell isn't going to play anyway.
I agree with you. No, I'm in agreement with you here. If the Cubs were to make that move, Addison Russell makes the most sense. But what the Cubs are going to do is say, this is a guy that is coming into his own. He's a plus defender. His bat's coming along, and he is controllable. And we gave up a lot for him when we did. We're not going to just sell him for a rent-a-player. And the Orioles are going to say, we'll kick rocks because, you know, guys in the NL like the Diamondbacks and Phillies, they want him. What could happen is you might have a scenario where the Orioles agree to maybe pay half the contract that's left on the year. So the Cubs are almost getting a free Manny Machado or close to free Manny Machado, and they're getting a guy like Addison Russell back, and that might be the thing that makes the Cubs move. You know, that they might be willing to do that to think, well, we've got the depth. Manny Machado could put us over. We will give up on Addison Russell because not only are we going to get Machado for 3 months, but this team is also going to pay a majority of the contract, and we legitimately have a decent shot now at re-signing Machado. And I'm not 100% sure, but isn't the whole compensation element might still work
right.
with Machado there, where the Cubs would get a first-round pick if he signed somewhere else, which could even be more valuable to make that go down.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. And I think that the Cubs could, you know, I think saying this, first of all, is foolish, unless they're trying to get someone else to really pay up for Manny Machado.
I think the Machado camp, the Orioles, I think that's all around the board. Think of all the teams that could use him right now. The Phillies, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, the Cubs.
Yeah, that's my point, is the, like, there are teams that are in the thick of it right now. You know, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are 1-2 in the NL West right now. They're both losing games. They're trying to fend off the stupid Dodgers from coming back up. The Giants are going to make a run at some point. They're going to get Bumgarner back. Smarts is not going to pitch this bad for the whole season. So they're going to get better. So those two teams in particular being 25 and 24 in runs scored when their offenses were huge for them last season. It's just surprising. So I wouldn't be surprised to see those teams make a run. So now the Cubs have real competition because, I mean, the Rockies have a decent amount in their system, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Rockies,
Diamondbacks don't, but
I think they're a little bit better right. than some people think. And you know, you got the MLB draft that's right around the corner. And again, if you guys are kind of into that, or you want even a little, you know, a little primer, listen to my episode with Jim Callis from MLB.com, where on Prospect One, we kind of went over what the first round looks like. And I think there's actually surprisingly some great talent. So to me, it's one of those things. I could see a team like the Diamondbacks, who They don't have the best system in the world, but they do have a couple top names. Being okay with giving up a bigger name, knowing that you're going to get, you're just about to replenish. And I think this draft is actually pretty deep, like with, I don't want to call high-end talent, but better talent than maybe we've had in a little bit in the first, like, up to two rounds. And the Diamondbacks are going to have three picks in there. So for a team like them, they really might be willing to do it because maybe they can pay over slot for a couple players and there's some guys that might drop. And I think it's just all part of the it's part of the dance that these teams do and the willingness. But it's all about the win. How important is winning now, and how far off do you see themselves? The Diamondbacks... we're just using them as an example because we know. I don't remember what the give was, but I do remember they gave up a piece or two when they acquired Adam Dunn for a two-month rental. And I'm trying to remember what it was. Now I want to look. Now
that,
I got to look.
Yeah, look that up because I just remember that because the thing about Adam Dunn was, sure, it gave us a nice bat at the time, but that dude did not have a position to play.
No.
And he was – I remember going to his first game – and he totally whiffed on one. He was playing right field. He totally whiffed on it. And that, it was just so bad. I was like, this is just such a mistake. And, you know, I get not wanting to give up stuff for a rental, but the Diamondbacks, like you mentioned, those teams with the time frame, you know, the Goldie's going to be a free agent after next season. I don't know if he's going to re-sign. A.J. Pollock, I don't, you know, who's really good, but he's constantly hurt. Do they want to put money and invest it into A.J. Pollock, a guy that's going to miss time seemingly every single season? So it's kind of, it might be closing for them. And there's other teams like the Phillies who are on the rise, but they have a ton in their system. So giving something up when they're making a push may not be that big a deal. I didn't put the Braves on this list because I don't really think that they need much, but if they trade for Machado to play third because Jose Bautista's playing third right now, then why not? You know what I mean? And they have, I mean, the Braves are one of the most loaded systems in the bigs, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're near the top. By the way, I was looking at this. I don't know why I'm not getting the exact details here. It is funny. I remember the big name that went in the trade, and I'm trying to see. I found something that's like a trade history of the Arizona Diamondbacks. God, well, you know what? There's nothing worse than 1,000 pop-ups. Like, get out of here.
Get ad blocker.
All of your stupid pop-ups on every site. All right, so one of the guys that was moved, which I think is hilarious if you think back on it, is this guy named Dallas Buck. Do you remember Dallas Buck?
Dallas Buck, yes, I remember
my name
Dallas
is Buck.
Buck,
and I'm not going to lose money.
I watched that movie today, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, here it is. So, yeah, and this is why it looked a lot bigger. So they traded Dallas Buck, who was an up-and-coming starting pitcher. They traded Wilkin Castillo, but the big name was they traded Micah Owings, who at
Micah
the time...
Micah Owings.
Micah Owings, he won a Silver Slugger as a pitcher. So them doing that was like, wow, they traded Micah Owings and Dallas Buck and Wilkin Castillo for a rental of 2 months, and it was like $4 million left on his contract. You look at it now, and you're like, well, that's hilariously dumb trade, and that's how these can work. That's why I don't think that a team like the Orioles is going to get down with a trade like that as a rental.
Right.
They are going to want premium, and they are – I think you have to look
don't
at –
Don't you think they kind of worked themselves into a bit of a corner, though? Like, if they would have traded him 2 years ago, they could have got so
well,
much
more. Of course
more.
They could. But no, but check this out, though. Think about what the Cubs traded – for Aroldis Chapman.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres. Top prospect in baseball. They traded to the Yankees. They traded Gleyber. I'm trying to remember what all that trade was now, but it was centered around Gleyber Torres, and that was a rental. I think
and
that
they won. They won the World Series.
And I mean, think that's the
Chapman
market
was
set.
Terrible down the stretch, but they did win the World Series.
And
I don't know if it was necessarily because of him, because he gave up the bomb to Rajai Davis.
That is why the market is going to be drastically different than the days of Adam Dunn for Micah Owings. It's going to be more of an Aroldis Chapman, Gleyber Torres. I think a team is going to have to give up something big, and in the Cubs' realm, they don't have a big top prospect. It would have to be a guy like Addison Russell or Happ, and I buy it. Other teams, the Diamondbacks, would probably have to give up, you know, one of their young studs, maybe a pitcher, and or John Duplantier. Yeah. I think the Phillies have a ton of guys. You're going to have to give up a lot for Manny Machado, and I think the Cubs are the team that would be most willing to do it, though I would say if they were going to make those moves, they might be better off trying to buy pitching like Chris Archer or something than they would trying to go get Manny Machado, but everyone needs bats.
What do you think about moving Jake Lamb for the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I
know you're not the biggest Lamb fan, so maybe it's not, maybe you're not the person to ask this, but Jake Lamb can't hit lefties. He's hurt right now. They played well without him. I mean, now A.J. Pollock is down and Goldie's not playing his best ball, so they could kind of use Jake Lamb back in the lineup, but if it was Jake Lamb and a lesser prospect, would you be okay with that, knowing that next year maybe you're starting third baseman, somebody like Danny Descalso?
I mean, I don't love it, but I could get down with it. I think teams need to make a move. I think that Manny Machado sets the table for contenders this year.
Do you think he's the first piece too, or do you think maybe he's one of these last pieces? Do you think maybe he'll get traded sooner because he's being talked about
That's a good question. This
point and kicked around, or do you think that he's one of like there? He's part of a counter move.
What's the Orioles' record? That's what I need to look up. They are 13-30, bottom of the division right now.
And everybody else in that division has a chance.
16.5 games out.
Yeah.
I would say, I think Manny Machado could be the first one. I actually really do. I think he could be the first guy that's moved. Orioles, they just go into that mode. You know, they got some guys they could bring up. They've got Ryan Mountcastle. They've got Austin Hayes. You know, move Adam Jones, move Manny Machado, get the young guys in, bring them up, get to Hunter Harvey, Dylan Bundy, you know, build around that core. I think that team might be a team that tries to go for a lot more pitching than anything, and that might be part of the problem. They might want young pitching, which, by the way, would make Atlanta one of the prime spots for a guy like Manny Machado to go, because Atlanta could offer the world. And, you know, Manny Machado for, you know, 3 months at third base, I think he'll be fine. But long term, he's going to want to sign a place that he can play shortstop.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but I wonder how far, like how much in payroll are the Braves paying, because they're bringing up all this young talent, you know, young controllable talent. So I wonder if they're a team that could possibly give up some decent prospects and then possibly also afford to re-sign Manny Machado.
They have got $117 million on the books for 18.
That's not bad.
You know what they have on the books for 19?
What?
$35 million. I'm on Baseball Reference right now. Who is the guy? Brandon McCarthy is $11.5 million. He's the highest. You've got Julio Teheran at 8. I'm sorry, he's not the highest. Freddie Freeman is $21
million. Right.
Yeah, how does this work out? Oh, yeah, the $35 million, 21 of it next year is Freddie Freeman. That's it. I mean, it's Brandon McCarthy. No, Nick Markakis is $11 million. McCarthy's $11.5 million. And both of those guys come off the books. Tyler Flowers is $4 million. He comes off the books. Suzuki, $3.5 million off the books. I mean, those guys are going to dump money. And they're going to have a lot of money to spend next year.
Maybe they give up like Austin Riley and something smaller.
I think they go into pitching. They got Kobe Allard, Ian Anderson. They just don't go trade Mike Soroka and don't trade Kyle Wright. And they have just got a bevy of guys. I think Atlanta's a sleeper team for Manny Machado. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep up with the record. Why not?
I mean, I think that maybe they would want somebody like Chris Archer first.
Agreed.
Because they probably need the pitching, but I think that it's definitely a possibility.
Why not do both? I mean, you could trade. I think in a trade with a team, you could get not that they even need it, but off the books. You could get McCarthy off the books.
They could re-sign both those dudes.
Yeah, you go get Archer and Machado, and if you could trade Markakis and McCarthy to any of those teams, because guess why? They come off the books. That's $11 million. You go take on these other guys that have some money into it. But how much more? I mean, they could trade $22.5 million if they can get McCarthy and Markakis off their roster, and they could take on more money while giving up prospects. I think legitimately they could go get Archer Machado if they really wanted to go for a pennant. And imagine how amazing that would be with that young talent. and the money they have in 2019 and in the future. Incredibly interesting conversations. It started with the Cubs, then it goes to the Braves. That's Manny Machado. Don't go anywhere. It was hour one of In This League. We got a couple more for you. Bogman of the Welsh, we're coming back.